out of the ranging laser. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to lift the assembly out of its fitting. It's designed to pop in or pop out, just like Monk said. Why? Harry demanded silently. Why would any one of them want to scrub this mission? Is he a spy, for Christ's sakes? With a disgusted shake of his head, Harry reasoned, no, that couldn't be it. None of us knew we were flying into a shooting war when we took off. We all thought it was going to be just another milk run. Not a spy, then. Not an enemy agent. No James Bond stuff. But then why the hell did he do it? And did he cause the explosion out on the Mojave? Did he kill Pete? Harry sat there mulling his thoughts over and over again. Slowly he began to think that he really didn't want to know. One of my people is a saboteur, at least. Maybe a murderer. I don't want to know who it is. But he realized even so that he had to know. He had to find out. I can't let him try again. He might kill us all, for God's sake. Or her. Maybe it's Taki. Is there something in her background that I don't know about? Something that makes her willing to commit suicide to stop this mission? She's third or fourth generation American, but is there some of the kamikaze spirit inside her? He gulped at his tepid coffee, got to his feet, and went to the tiny stainless steel sink to rinse out the mug. You're going nuts, so, he said to himself. Absolutely dingbat. Taki's no Japanese spy, for Christ's sake. But somebody removed the lens assembly. One of my people. Somebody who figured that would be the simplest and least dangerous way to abort the mission. Knock out the ranging laser and we're out of business. Who? Who? Harry leaned against the sink, his mind spinning. Then he stood up straight and went to the galley's hatch. Instead of standing around asking yourself questions, he reasoned, go out and do something. Find the missing lens assembly. Maybe where the guy hid it will tell you who it was. It wasn't much, but it was all that Harry could think of doing. The Pentagon, Situation Room. Zuri Coggins looked up from her mini's screen and announced, the President has landed at San Francisco International. Michael Jamil turned in his chair to face the wall screen that showed CNN, Fox News, and three other news channels. None of them were showing the President's arrival in Air Force One. There must be a crowd at the airport to greet him, Jamil thought, his brows furrowing. That's why he landed at the commercial airport instead of a military base. Why aren't the news nets covering his arrival? And then it hit him. The satellites are out. No instant news coverage from the West Coast. I'll bet they don't even have coaxial cables anymore to carry TV across the continent. General Scheib was also bent over his laptop screen. The tanker's taken off from Misawa, he said. Should make rendezvous with Able One in about 1 hour. General Higgins came down the table and bent over Scheib's shoulder. Will your plane have enough fuel to make the rendezvous? Without looking up at Higgins, Scheib muttered, that's a decision the pilot has to make. The tanker's on its way. Took off 10 minutes ago. O'Banion called so loudly that Karen Christopher could hear him through the open cockpit hatch even with her helmet on. ETA, Christopher said into her lip mic. It took several moments before O'Banion replied, more softly, 68 minutes. Major Kaufman leaned toward Christopher. That's way past our bingo point. The colonel nodded slowly, her mind racing.